राधे
जगत गुरु कृपालु परिषद प्रेजेंटिंग चेंज योर थॉट्स चेंज योर लाइफ पॉडकास्ट फॉर अ बेटर एग्जिस्टेंस।
द टॉपिक ऑफ डिस्कशन फॉर टुडे इज द माइंड, द डिटैचमेंट ऑफ द माइंड। ऑल सेंट्स फ्रॉम पास्ट टू प्रेजेंट एंड ऑल वैदिक स्क्रिप्चर्स as well as all other religious scriptures, have highlighted the mind. They have referred to the mind in the process of self-surrender to the Supreme. The reason being, without surrendering to Him, we cannot attain His divine grace, and without His grace, it is impossible for us to fulfill our ultimate dream of attaining supreme happiness, divine bliss, that which is eternal, everlasting, ever existing, ever increasing, and of the unlimited quantity. The Bhagavad states, Chetah khalvasya bandhai muktaye chatmano matam. The Gita too says, Mai eva manadhatsva mai buddhim niveshaya. Jagat Guru Uttam Shri Kripaluji Maharaj, our spiritual master, has also composed several bhajans, in fact, hundreds of philosophical verses addressing the mind. In his scripture, Prem Ras Madira alone, there are several devotional poems. Are man avasar bityo jat, are man char dina ki baat, are man astrishna balavan, are man ih sar sansar, etc., etc. In Bhakti Shatak as well, Shri Mahaji writes, Bandhan aur moksh ka karan man hi bakhan radhe radhe yate kaun yu bhakti karu करु मन ते हरि ध्यान राधे राधे। And in Radha Govind Geet, which consists of 11,111 philosophical verses, which is the essence of all the Vedas, Shri Mahaji writes,
निर्मल मन चाहे गोविंद राधे मेरा मन समल विमल मन लादे या तो तू मन ले जा या तो तू मन ले जा गोविंद राधे या तो मन में ही आ जा झगड़ा मिटा दे राधे राधे गोविंद गोविंद राधे 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 गोविंद गोविंद राधे।
So surrender is a must for the attainment of God's grace. And the meaning of surrender has been defined in the scriptures as the complete cessation of all activity. As Lord Krishna explains in the Gita, you've heard many times, sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braj. Abandon all varieties of dharma, righteousness, renounce worldly duties and obligations, and take shelter in his lotus feet alone. It is only the individual who reaches the stage of complete inactivity who attains supreme happiness, says Lord Krishna. Now, since the performer of all our actions is the mind, so this brings us to today's topic. Who is the performer of all our actions? It is the mind. And since the mind is the performer of all our actions, it means that we will have to vacate the mind, empty the mind in order to bring it to the stage of complete inactivity. However, when we look at the scriptures, they proclaim, the Gita itself states, Nahi kaschit charamabi jatu tishtatya karma krit. 3:5. Meaning the mind cannot remain inactive for even a fraction of a moment. This statement of the scriptures makes us wonder what it is that our mind is so preoccupied with that it cannot be freed for even a moment. You see, if our mind were in a neutral state, it could easily be molded in any direction. But the problem is that our mind is already attached somewhere so firmly that it is almost impossible to change its direction. Our mind has been attached strongly to the material world. Why? Because it is a firm decision of our mind that the happiness we have been seeking since eternity will definitely be attained by us one day in the material world. Therefore, the mind will only reach the stage of complete inactivity once it changes its decision about happiness in the world. Besides being attached to the world, another problem with the mind is that it is fickle. As Arjun complains to Lord Krishna, Chanchalam hi manah Krishna pramathi balavadridham tasyaham nigraham manye vayo rivasudushkaram. 6:34. He says, Oh Krishna, you ask me to control the mind, but tell me how this most inconsistent, most restless mind be made tranquil. How can it be made calm? It is so fickle that it travels from the nethermost, the lowermost regions to the sky within no time. Chanamayati patalam, chanam yati nabhasthalam. Yoga Vashisht. Several eminent philosophers have attempted to solve the mystery of the mind and have come up with various theories. Let us begin with Charvak Brihaspati. Charvak Brihaspati illustrates his views as follows. He says that we cannot control the mind at all. Therefore, it is a practice in futility. It is useless to make any effort to do so. According to him, we should not bind our freedom-loving mind with ideals or obligations. According to him, we do not need to control the mind in order to attain our goal of happiness. His philosophy is fulfill all desires that enter the mind. Eat, drink, and be merry. This is the route to happiness. For instance, if Charvak were here, suppose you had a desire to eat ice cream at this very moment. If Charvak were here, he would tell you to make it a point of eating ice cream right now. Then he would ask you if that ice cream gave you any pleasure. Yes, of course, it did. Then he would say, this just goes to prove my point, that you can achieve happiness by fulfilling all your desires. He even goes to the extent of saying, Yavat jivet sukham jivet rinam kritva ghritam pivet bhasmi bhutasya dehasya punaragamanam kutaha. Generally speaking, it means beg, borrow, and steal. Do whatever you must in order to live and enjoy life to the fullest, for no one knows what will happen after death. In other words, if you do not have the means to acquire something that you want, to acquire the desired object, according to Charvak, beg or borrow money from somewhere. You are only to worry about yourself. The world is full of distress and misery. It is not your duty to look after everyone else. Everyone must look after himself and himself alone. However, this philosophy of Charvak goes directly against the philosophies of other philosophers who dismiss Charvak as being selfish and narrow-minded, and rightfully so. For instance, Jean-Adrien Helvétius, an eminent French philosopher, says that it is wrong to consider the self only. He says that we should also take into consideration the interest of others. Hobbes, another Western philosopher, also stands firm on this principle. Their philosophy was to gain immense popularity in the world at the time. But when the question was asked as to what should be done when self-interest clashes with altruism. Altruism, as you know, is the practice of selfless concern for the well-being of others. So when this question was asked, they content themselves, they remain silent and content themselves by saying that when personal good clashes with universal good, then personal good, self-interest, should be given more importance. Thereafter, Joseph Butler, another philosopher, an English philosopher, appeared with his views. So far we have Charvak, who promotes self-interest only. Then we have Hobbes and Helvétius, who say that universal interest should be given equal importance. But Butler goes even one step ahead. He says that self-interest should not be given any importance at all. According to him, altruism, unselfish concern for others, is the best principle to abide by. So now we have three differing theories. First, there is Charvak, who says, as an example, that if you see a man starving, do not get upset. You are only to look out for yourself. Then there are Hobbes and Helvétius, who are more moderate in their views. They do not sanction this total boycott, this total denial of helping others as propagated by Charvak. No. They would say that if you have 4 pieces of bread, you should give the starving man at least 2 pieces. But Butler, as I said before, goes even one step further. He would advise us to give all 4 pieces to the poor man. But Jagat Guru Uttam Shri Kripaluji Maharaj, the fifth original Jagat Guru of this age, of this yuga, according to him, there's not much difference between these three above-mentioned theories or philosophies. Why? Because all of them are only concerned with the physical good, the material good of the individual. Although they are concerned with altruism, the principle of taking into consideration the well-being and the happiness of others, but nevertheless, he says, they are totally unaware of the true meaning, the precise meaning and the depth of this principle. The Sanskrit word for altruism is parārth, or paraścāsau ātmā, which means, par means the soul, and parārth means the benefit of the soul. But all these three aforementioned theories are only concerned with the benefit of the body, with the happiness, with the pleasure of the body, the senses. They do not consider the soul at all. Even now in the world, we see that an increase of physical comforts and luxuries only results in the increase of anxiety, restlessness, and craving. An increase in longing and hankering for more material objects, for sense gratification even more. Thereafter, another philosopher, an American philosopher, appeared with his views, an eminent philosopher and a distinguished psychologist of his time, William James. He reflected on this very fact and came up with the following formula. He said, less craving, less suffering, more craving, more suffering. According to him, we should minimize our longing for material objects. However, even he falls short of the mark of the target in that he only talks about the cause of sorrow and suffering and not about the way to lessen them. In other words, he suggests lessening our desires, lessening our cravings for material objects, but he does not say anything about how to go about lessening them. So he does suggest that we should lessen our desires since they are the root cause of our suffering. There's a question in the Narad Bhakti Darshan, Narad Bhakti Sutra. Kastarati, kastarati mayam. Meaning, who is able to transcend the ocean of material existence? Naraji himself provides the answer in the Narad Bhakti Sutra. He says, yas sangans tyajati. One who abandons all worldly attachments. But how can these attachments be abandoned? There seems to be no easy answer to this question. Radhe.
Thank you for joining Jagat Guru Kripalu Parishad podcast.